Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I want to continue to worship God, draw our minds toward Him. There's a number of ways that I think, well, the Sunday school lesson is a good lesson for us, and is, in one small sense, continued with what we will look at. I was inspired to speak on this subject when I came across a message that Brother Raymond High had preached around 30 years ago on the subject of influence. So apparently it's not a new subject, not one that's... But one aspect that I thought of, or one thing that comes to mind, is in our day, there are people that are called influencers. They weren't around back when Raymond High was alive, living. But influencers today are I don't know how many of you have heard of them or know what I'm talking about. I'm sure the young people do. But an influencer today is someone who, with a large social media following, someone who exerts influence and inspires or guides the actions of others, often in relation to certain subjects or specialties or products, certain lines of products. They encourage their followers to make purchases by recommending brands or products or services. They somewhat have a specialized knowledge. I don't think, and I feel like I'm a little bit out of my realm because I don't really know that much about them myself, but they have... In many ways, they have specialized knowledge or authority or insight, or they claim to have specialized, be specialists in a certain field and be able to give recommendations and teach you about certain subjects and certain products and help you to understand why you need this certain thing. They don't necessarily claim to be experts in all areas of life, but they claim to be an expert in this area. And they are here to tell you why you need this and how to determine and exactly decide which product you need. And they gain a following by giving advice like that and gaining the trust of those who follow them, of those who follow their posts and their social media. They drive awareness about trends or topics or companies or products. And there's a number of parallels we can draw to the influence that we should have to influencers. And there's also a number of differences that we'll highlight. But the power of influence is something that we all face. And the title I would have for the message this morning is The Law of Influence. And as we go through the message, I want to impress on you that we are all influencers, not directly in the definition that I was just using, but we all influence other people, and we all are influenced. And I'm calling that a law this morning, that it just does happen. It's something that you need to deal with. It's something that you need to face. And there's very positive aspects to that, and there's very negative aspects to that. Just a little bit more as far as these influencers. They're effective at promoting products, and they're effective at promoting products to the point that some manufacturers realize that their advertising money is better spent paying these influencers to sell their products, to advertise their products to these following groups. Their money is better spent doing that than through traditional advertising. So the power of influence like that is very, it's very powerful. It's very influential. It can, It can do more, it can accomplish more than a billboard out on the highway in some cases. Then it can have a strong influence on what people do with their lives. Influencer, in other words, my definition of an influencer would be someone who has a large sphere of followers who trust them for advice on specific subjects. As Christians, shouldn't we be influencers for Christ? Now, I'll show some ways that breaks down, but shouldn't we be those that others can trust and we can help them find their way, help them find a path, help them find the way to God and help them draw closer to Him? Influencers are not real knowledgeable about other subjects, but they're specialists. Maybe we aren't going to be real knowledgeable about all other subjects, but we should be specialists in knowing how to find Christ. And I think if you'd follow these modern day influencers, they're very, very careful what they post, because they don't want to post on other subjects that aren't their core subjects, that aren't key to what they're doing, because they don't want to in any way distract or destroy the trust that people have in them. They don't want to give an opinion normally on politics or on the weather or on other things that might turn some of their followers away. And so they stick to their very core subjects and try to build confidence in themselves in that way, because that's what they're knowledgeable about, and they don't want to turn folks away who might trust them otherwise. Shouldn't we, it's a lesson to me, and many parts of this message are a lesson, or speak very directly to me. How involved are we in other subjects and talk about other subjects that might turn people away from our core aspect of drawing people to Christ? I thought about titling the sermon "An Influencer for Christ," but there's a number of things that are not, number of contrasts we would draw with a modern day influencer. One is their popularity, and a lot of what they're going for, in addition to selling a particular product or advertising a particular product, is their own popularity. Alongside and superseding their products is the influence, is their own popularity and the number of followers they can attract, number of followers they can have. And they rate that by, they have different numbers, or mini influencer, mega influencer, all that. They are very tuned in to that, how many followers they have. And that contrasts to an influencer for Christ. And also, it's very fickle the way that on the internet one can come across. Oh, it's very easy for one to appear to be an authority on the internet when they really don't understand the subject as well as they let on. So we know that that's part of it too. But we are to be influencing people for Christ. That's part of our responsibility and our goal. Our goal is Christ's popularity, and we are to seek to become invisible. We're not out for the number of followers we have. We're out for the number of followers that God has. And we want to keep that focus. I was trying to remember where I came across this, but I'd come across the idea that we, as Christian people today, many times, and speaking especially myself probably, we are good at passing on to our children the skills they need to survive in life, to face life, and to be successful in life, how to provide for their family, how to take care of their family, how to make money, how to be prosperous. In some ways, we probably have more focus on that than we realize. And what would happen if we want them to be more successful than we are? We want them to help to do better than we did oftentimes. And but what about if our goal was more, we want them to be more of an influencer for Christ than we are? What about if that was our goal, or could that be our goal, that we would be more, we would switch those two around from the way too often they are, the priority that we often have, that we, and I know I'm open to your input on that, because we do have to live in this world and we do have to find our way. But we probably place far too much emphasis on being successful in this world and providing for ourselves than being an influencer for Christ. If we could swap those priorities and prioritize teaching our children to be a better influencer than we are for Christ, bringing more people to Christ, and not so much influence, not so much priority on having them be successful, it probably would be, it's really what something we should think about. I don't have a lot of scriptures we're going to dwell on, but one I do want to turn to, an example of a man that was influenced, is in 1 Kings. You can turn to that, 1 Kings chapter 13. And this was a man that was a good man. He was a prophet. He was doing what was right. He was sticking to what was right. He was following it carefully. 1 Kings chapter 13. And this is a story. The story is about Jeroboam, the king. And he was turning to idol worship. And he was building altars to wrong gods, to lowercase gods. And a prophet was sent to him. God himself sent a prophet to this king. Chapter 13, verse 1, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee." And he went on and he gave a sign to the to King to King Jeroboam that he was going to of what how he would know that this was true. And the king denied it, and his hand turned leprous. And he cried out to the prophet, to this prophet, to restore his hand, and the prophet did. And then he turned around, and verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." And the man of God said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, them, "What way went he?" For his sons had seen which what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, "Saddle me the ass." So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, "Art thou a man of God that camest from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Then he said unto him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am the prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back unto thee, with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he, the prophet of God, went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And we know how it went. One, after he left there, a lion came out and slew him. But I'll just drop down and read a little bit. Verse 26, and when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. The prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him, and he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. I'll stop there. And I don't claim to totally understand what motivated the old prophet to do what he did and how, what all was involved in that. But what stands out is that this old prophet was a man who would normally be respected. What especially, you know, is unusual about this is someone who would normally be respected, who would normally say the truth, who would normally give God's word, lied. And this man allowed him to influence him. The young prophet allowed the older man's life and his words to influence him to do the wrong thing. The young man had everything going for him. He was dedicated to God. He was following God's plan. He was doing what was right. But someone came and told him something different, and he allowed it to influence him to do wrong. That happens every day. That happens all the time. It happens many, many places. But it is extra unusual when it came from a man of God, someone who normally we trust and respect. And so that older man had influence on the younger man. He had a strong pull on him, and he was able to persuade him to do something wrong. And it cost him his life, cost him everything. If you think about it a little bit, epitaph on the grave, on that grave for the young prophet could say something like, here lies the bones of a young man of God who was led astray by one man's evil influence. One man caused him to turn aside and was able to influence him to do wrong. And for the older prophet, I don't know. Here lies the bones of an old dead shell of a prophet who used his influence to turn others aside. You know, and why do we think about this story concludes at the grave? That I heard that coming through in the lesson, in the Sunday school lesson today. But we think about where it ends up, and that's an important part of influence, because influence, one of the very strong things we need to evaluate influence by is where it's going to end up, where it's going to take you, what it's going to, where you're going to end up as you follow it. All right, I do want you to turn to another passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Most of the rest of the verses I'll just read. But Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be a good influencer. Be an influencer for God. Let your light shine. And it mostly comes out in this positive side. We're supposed to let our light shine and draw people to Christ. But it does allude to the idea that we can be a negative influence, that we can have our salt have lost its savor, and that we can hide our light. It's possible that our influence would not be what it should be. But if we let it shine in a positive way, it can have such a strong influence for God. And that's what we're supposed to be. The law of influence. We are being influenced all the time. We can't control the influences that come to bear on us. But many times we can control what sources we allow to influence us. This gets to some other subjects and some other messages that we've thought about recently, possibly. But there's an aspect where we don't have control of the influences that come our way. But we do have control of what we allow to influence us. I heard that from what Brother Lyndon was saying too. But we cannot control the influence our friends have on us. Our friends will have influence on us. They will influence us. And we can't control that. But we can control what friends we have. We can decide what friends we're going to associate with. Music will have an impact on our life. We can't stop that, but we do choose what music we listen to. We can't keep our reading material from influencing us. What we read will influence us, will speak to us. But we have the opportunity to choose what we're going to read. There are some exceptions to this. Of course, the most notable exception is that Jesus came to this world to be a friend to sinners, but he did no sin. And we're going to notice a couple, just a few exceptions like that. And I don't claim to have it all figured out exactly how we can control that or when those exceptions apply. But I do know that even when those exceptions apply, we need to take special care. All right, and we'll talk more about that, like I said. Now, influence, in a sense, is somewhat unique. If you think about the abstract of it, if you think about what it actually is, it's a person or thing with the capacity or power to have effect on someone or something. So it's one person or being or thing that has a power and an influence on someone else. And so now, you know, we often think about power and influence and work and getting a hold of something and doing it. But influence is no direct connection. There's no physical connection. It's just the vibes you have, what you say controls and directs what I do. It's an intangible link of what someone else is saying or proposing or the influence they have directs your life and speaks to your life and has an impact on what you do and what you say and what you become. It you think about it that way, it's unique the way there's no physical or real direct link, and yet people can have an influence on your life and on what you do. The words people say can have an influence on you, and just those words can make a difference whether you how you handle a situation, whether you're able to handle it successfully or not. And there's no, it's such an intangible thing, and yet it's so strong and so powerful, that influence that people have. It's the capacity to have an effect on the character, on the development, or the behavior of someone or something. Power, capacity of causing an effect in indirect and intangible ways. And remember, influence can be positive or negative. It's a principle, it's a law. It's a principle that we follow, and it can be used for good or for evil. What I'm calling the law of influence is that you will be influenced. In many cases, you can choose the source of that influence, but you cannot choose the influence that results from that situation then. What you've chosen is going to influence you. It's going to make a difference in your life. Along with that, you will have an influence on others. That is a fact. The question for you is that going to be a positive or a negative influence? Are you going to be someone that's a drain on others? Are you going to be someone that's an inspiration to others? Are you someone who people are better off knowing? If they know you, they have a closer connection to God. Or if they know you, do they tend to forget God? Do they tend to go away from Him? All right, I have three main points, and there's many different ways. I don't feel like I'll exhaust this subject by any means. But three main points I want to just look at briefly. First one is helps to choose the influencers we listen to. And the first one, of course, we think about is the Bible. The Bible is to be the strongest influence in our life. And one of the things that brought me to this is there are people in this world who know the Bible well, but they don't allow it to be an influence in their life. They reject it or they refuse it, and yet they know it. But the more I thought about that, I do think it really has an influence on their life, but they're choosing not to allow it to change them, or not to allow God's Spirit to come into their life and to change them. But it probably has more of an influence on them than they think. I wonder about that. But in our lives, the biggest influence, the strongest influence that we're supposed to be feeling is as we read God's Word and we allow that to speak to us, and those words in print in your Bible are supposed to change your life. They're supposed to have an effect on you and change the way you think and the way you act and the way you respond to others. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Using God's word to teach others, but to exhort and to convince people, to effect a change in their life. The words of our Bible are to be an influence. It's the strongest influence that we should feel. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. thinking of an influencer, someone who gains trust, gains a following, gains someone's confidence that they can take their word and go with it. God wants us to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't go follow what He has to say when your thoughts and His thoughts are different. Trust in the Lord's way. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's talking about what you're going to do, which direction you're going to go, what you're going to accomplish, what you're going to do today. It's talking about those things. It's going to be an influence on your life, and that needs to be the strongest influence in our life. And I wish I could go on and we could come up with many different helps in relation to choosing what we listen to. The second point I have there is to consider the end results. Proverbs 14:12. So the second help I have to choose what we listen to is to consider the end results. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That was one of Raymond High's burdens, but it's directly from the scriptures. Think about where it leads. Think about what the end of it is. What will the harvest be of this influence? We need to think about the end result. And that's not always tangible, not always something we can figure out or see. But sometimes if we think about it, so many of our decisions, so many of the influencers of today are in the here and now and are in the present. And it's what feels good, what looks attractive, what's captivating, what catches your attention, and what looks right. And if we don't look ahead, we don't look to where the end is, we don't look to what it produces, what the harvest will be. If we can look out a little bit further, that often helps. And I have one more passage down in this section. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Just as you're evaluating what's influencing your life, keep in mind that the things of this world are very, very temporary and are going to pass away. And as far as that goes, those influencers of today that are looking for followers, looking for high numbers, that fame is one of the things that's of this world, and it's going to pass away, and it's not going to last. I spoke a little bit about those who are familiar with the Bible but choose to reject it. I think it may have more of an impact on their life than they think. But we are to... Okay, and so we can read things, and I couldn't totally determine how you figure that out, but you could read things and reject it. And yet so many times when we read things, they do have an influence on us. We might think we can reject it, but most times we can't reject it as easily as we think. We're supposed to befriend those in need. But even though we personally reject their lifestyle, how do we, and that's a question we've wrestled with many times, and if you have an answer, I'd be glad to talk about it more. But how do we reach out to people the way God wants us to, and yet not become like them? There's a certain is there a certain barrier we need to have up there, a certain guard we have to have in place as we befriend those who need Christ and who are trying to find their way to not become like them? As we have ourselves clearly, as we allow the Bible to be our main influence, that's obviously a big help. But I do think as we do that, we need to be careful. We need to be aware that we need to have our guards up, because so many things can rub off on us. We are around people that swear and talk profane. Those words become familiar to us, even if we don't start using them. They lose the disgust that we have for them. And many of the ideas, even the ideas society has in relation to money and in relation to morality and in relation to abortion and all those things, as we're around society, that has a way of affecting us. And I believe God wants us to be relating to sinners, relating to those that need Him, and yet we need to keep our guard up, and we need to be careful. If we have a weakness in a certain area, maybe we need to avoid certain contacts. Let others help a certain person or whatever. But it's something we need to think about. All right, second main point helps to be a positive influence in the lives of others. First one I have down is from 1 Samuel 18, 14 and 15. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when King Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. David behaved himself wisely, and it had an influence on King Saul. Now, King Saul rejected it and tried to kill him because of it. But what it says is that David behaved himself wisely. How did he behave himself wisely? Well, I saw one description of that was a description you could have of behaving yourself wisely is simply to have an accurate view of yourself and of God, to know who God is and to understand clearly who you are. And as you do that, that's one simple definition of behaving yourself wisely. But David behaved himself wisely, and Saul saw that and was afraid of him. It had a deep impact on Saul. Does that mean he wasn't used to seeing people that behave themselves wisely? He doesn't. And one of the thoughts I came across in studying for this was, so often in the world, the world is used to hypocrisy. The world is used to hypocrites. The world is used to people who are not genuine. A Christian is to be genuine. That's one of the, as we are following Christ, it's just very important that we are genuine and we are clean. There's not dirt in our lives that's hidden somewhere. Could take you to many examples in the world around us where we don't like unclean things. We don't like a restaurant that has dirt around it. Restaurants that are clean are where we want to go. But it's exactly the same in our own lives. People are drawn to those who are clean, who are genuine, who actually are what they represent, because that's not typical of the world. That's not typical of humanity without Christ. And so someone who actually is genuine, who behaves themselves wisely, is a positive influence for God. There's a sense in which being an influence or being a positive influence, we tend to think of it a little bit more like being a salesman. And not all of us are cut out for that. As we know our subject, as we know Christ, as we learn to know Him personally, that's where we need to be. We need to be a salesman and an influencer for Him. And we can all do it. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. I think, you know, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. The feeling the influence from the Bible, from God's word, is the beginning of wisdom. I have two other points here, and again, that's not in any way exhaustive. But one is from 1 Corinthians 8:13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. We're careful what we do so that we don't offend others in a spiritual way like that. We're willing to give up some of our own rights, some of the things that we could enjoy, so that we can be a good influencer for Christ, so that we can be a positive influence for him. We're willing to give up, we're willing to make some sacrifices and do some things like that. Third thing, is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, I'm sorry, I do have several more points here. But the idea that we're honest, I mean, it's some of the same things we were talking about before, being honest, being genuine, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, proving their false accusations wrong, proving that you are actually who you say you are, so that they can see God, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We want to point people to him. Matthew 18:6, speaking about offending one of these little ones, it's better if a millstone was hung around your neck. Realize the seriousness of our responsibility to be a positive influence for God. If we offend someone and turn someone away from God, if we're a negative influence on another person's life, if people are leaving Christ, if they're leaving a relationship with God because of our influence, we will be responsible. It would be better if a millstone were hung about our neck. The last thing I have down here is to take the opportunities that God gives you. Consider Luke chapter 16, verses 25 to 31, where Lazarus and the Lazarus and the rich man had died, and Lazarus had not received any mercy at the rich man's table. But the rich man, when he was in hell, he lifted up his eyes and said to Abraham, you know, send someone back for my brethren. He wanted to be a positive influence on his brother. He wanted to help them see what was right. He didn't want to draw them wrong. But it was too late. There's a time when we can be an influence on others. And there's a time when it's past. We need to take the opportunities that God gives us to be a help, to be an influence on others, because they will not last forever. They will soon be gone. Third main point, helps to choose the influencers that we listen to. In other words, how do we choose right influences into our life? Probably may have heard already, but the little story of the farmer who had crows out in his field and they were being a mess. And so he took his shotgun and shot into the crowd of crows, went out to see how many he had gotten. And he found the family's pet parrot there with the injured crows, with the dead crows. The parrot was not dead, but it was injured. And so he picked it up and took it into the house. The children were wondering, whatever happened to the parrot? Whatever happened to it? And he said, well, it was bad company. It was with bad company. And of course, the parrot says, bad company, bad company. Talking about influence. It can affect us. It does affect us. It does make a difference in our lives. I was tempted to open it up and ask, what's been a positive influence in your life? Who has been a positive influence in your life? What did they do to be a positive influence? First thing is we need to realize that we become like those we associate with. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, we are with friends, we see things they do, we become like them. That's a fact. That's what the Bible says, and it's the truth. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The second point I have down is just simply to seriously evaluate those we let speak into our life. It's so easy for us to just casually look over all those statuses on our phone and allow them to do something in our life, to speak to us. They have an influence on us. They affect what we think. What we think about ourselves, what we think about other people, it has an effect on us. Think about that. Seriously evaluate that. Does that really mean what it tends to portray? Is that a realistic view of their life? And are you really missing as much as you're led to believe? What all criteria should we use to consider those? And that could be a subject of discussion. In conclusion, someone who is positive, someone who's one of the things Raymond High would have brought out is be a friend, not a flatterer. Be a positive influence on a person's life, looks for character strengths, and complements character strengths, not superficial things. We're talking this morning about the law of influence. You will have an influence on others. You are helping them to climb closer to God, or you are pulling them down, one or the other. Influences will affect you. Are you choosing your influencers, those that influence you, carefully? What epitaph could be on your grave? He was a good person. He wanted to do right, but he was influenced by someone and failed. Or are you someone who has helped others to find a way? Been a positive influence, been someone who was good to know, and was a faithful friend and a faithful guide to others. We have the choice. Let's pray.